Shalom Aleichem, I hope everything is well. Thank you for coming. Welcome to our first shiur on the road to tshuva and the concept of tshuva saguf. So, just something to keep in mind before we start. This is not going to be a series of shiurim going through like the fundamental major motifs of the road to tshuva. Rather, every year during Elul, I try to go through parts of the road to tshuva, and every year there are different themes that then jump out at me. So this year there are certain themes that are jumping out at me, and I would like to try to share our perspective or share some of the things Rav Kook says about those themes. And this theme of Tshuva Sagov actually happens to be in the first piece of Rav Tshuva. So let's start as follows. In the secular world, there's a concept of a New Year's resolution. So if you Google top 10 New Year's resolutions, the number two top New Year's resolutions have to do with the physical body. I think number one is exercise, and number two is eating healthy. Lahavdil, during the month of Elul, the Bali Masters say that we're supposed to take kabbalos upon ourselves, almost like a New Year's resolution, try to accept certain things upon ourselves that we're not doing throughout the year. But the suggestions usually have to do with ruchnios, davening more kavana, doing more chesed, learning more Torah, learning more musar, or something of that sort. Where does the guf, where does the body play a role in the tshuva of the month of Elul? So the relationship between the neshama and the guf is a huge topic. But just to get a sense of where people are coming from, just to get a sense of how earlier Jewish literature spoke about the guf, we have the first two makoros over here. The first, and these are both from Hasidish makoros, and it's Sifrei Hasidus is supposed to have more of a positive orientation towards the guf. The first makor is Be'er Mayim Chayim. This is the I hope I'm pronounced I'm forgetting how to pronounce it. Rav Chaim of Tverkachev, a Talmud of the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. So it's a longer piece in the Be'er Mayim Chayim, but he talks about if somebody does a lot of chatayim. I think he's specifically referring to chatayim having to do with Gilui Arayos. He writes that it's going to be horrible for that person. Imlo b'tshuva gedola v'nora. Unless the person does an amazing form of tshuva. What is that amazing form of tshuva? V'shiviras haguf kulo, breaking the body. Ki haguf kli charesu, because the body is a kli cheres. Chareset karsiha adamah, pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says, how could somebody made of clay rebuke or speak out against Hashem? Could a clay jug speak out against its yotzer, against its creator? With the klicheres, the only way to make a tahar is to break it. So the Be'er Mayim Chayim, again, this is part of a longer piece, but this is like a little snippet just to give a sense of the way the body is spoken of. That the body is almost like it's almost like an impediment towards tshuva. Tshuva means that neshama is coming closer to Hashem. The body impedes that relationship, and therefore the best thing to do to the body is to break it. What does it mean to break one's body? So, as we know from the Hasidim, from the Hasidic Ashkenaz, we have concepts of gilgulei shaleg of actually almost like harming the body. We also have concepts of taniyot, so just fasting, of denying things of the body, and these are ways to break the body, to weaken the body, to allow the tshuva process to go through, to allow the neshama to shine forth. Another example is in Tanya, Tanya Perek Lamed Aleph to Tanya Perek Lamed Beis. Tanya there is talking about if somebody self-defines as a neshama, and the neshama is being yotzei min haguf, is not yotzei min haguf in terms of death, but yotzei min haguf in the sense that it is becoming free from its from it from its from the impediments of its of the body and all of the body's taivos. That is similar to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a bechina of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it creates a lot of simcha. And you self-define as a neshama. And Tanya goes on to say, when you have this great simcha, when you self-define as a neshama, the guf still remains disgusting. Like the Zohar refers to the guf as a skin of the snake. Skip that for a second. But still, when you think about yourself, your neshama should be so precious to you. Your neshama, which is a chelak al-kamimal, should be so precious that the simcha which you get from thinking of yourself as a neshama should outweigh almost like the disgusting feelings you get about yourself when you think of yourself as having a guf. Shlala arbev ulevalbel simchas nefesh b'itzvon haguf. She keeps the two things separate, simchas nefesh versus itzvon haguf. Now I'm skipping a couple of lines, beginning of paraklamet beis. This is the famous parak about Avas Yisrael. But look at the way it starts. From doing this, self-defining as a neshama, not as a guf, means gufo nivzev nimas be'inav, that your body is disgusting and disgraced in one's eyes. The simcha and the simcha of a person should just be of their neshama. So again, there. This is obviously not everything Tanya has to say about the body, and not everything Bar Maim Chaim has to say about the body. And obviously, there are very many positive statements about the guf in Chazal. There's a statement. I think it's the Tosafta about Hillel, seemingly referring to the body. Asam Elokim. Rambam says you have to keep the body healthy. But still, nonetheless, it's very clear from these sources, at least, that the orientation should be to self-define as a neshama. And the way for the neshama to shine is through downplaying the body, almost not thinking of yourself as a body, and denying the body some of what the body wants. The body is the seat of taivos, it is temporal, it's transient, it is not the ikar part of a person. And there's this inverse relationship between the neshama and the guf. With this background, we could understand how it's almost surprising the opening paragraphs of Orot HaTshuva are. So in source number 3, we have Orot HaTshuva, this is Siman Aleph, basically, Parag Aleph. This was written by Rav Kook to be the first section of Orot HaTshuva. Rav Kook writes as follows. Source number 3. Es HaTshuva anu motzim b'shalosh marchot. We find three different levels of tshuva. Aleph tshuva tivit, natural tshuva. Bet tshuva emunit, tshuva based on faith, based on Mesorah. Gimel teshuva sichlit, teshuva that is based on some type of understanding. And he goes on to explain all three. We're going to focus on teshuva tivit for tonight. Rav Kook writes, next paragraph, teshuva tivit yesh shnei chalakim. In teshuva tivit, it subdivides into two parts. Teshuva tivit gufanit, teshuva tivit nafshit. There is natural teshuva of the body and natural teshuva of the soul. We are going to focus on natural teshuva of the body, which is the first level of tshuva according to Rav Kook. So it's the first part, it's one part, the first part of the first level of tshuva, tshuva tivit. What does Rav Kook say about this form of tshuva? Hagufanit sovevet, it's called avirot neged chukei hateva. Tshuva gufanit, natural tshuva that relates to the body, is regarding all avirot that are against the laws of nature, hamusar v'atorah, or the laws of morality, the laws of the Torah, that are connected with the laws of nature. Because there are certain bad behaviors, there are certain lifestyle choices that bring sickness, that bring pain. And the individual person and society could suffer from this a lot. And after one clarifies themselves, this person, and you yourself, with your lifestyle choices, with your bad behaviors, are guilty of diluting the force of your life. Then you start paying attention to fix the situation. To return to the actual laws, to the way life is supposed to be. In order for life to return with all of its vitality, for life to return with all of its vibrancy. So what is Rav Kook talking about over here? So it sounds like he's talking about the types of aviros that maybe you could find them in the Torah, maybe you can't find them in the Torah, but it really lifestyle choices that hurt the physical body. I heard a shir once from Yitzhak Shilat, the Rashiva of Shiva Has Dermalia Domim, and a big baki in Rav Kook, who said that he thinks a good example of this in modern times is not healthy eating, eating too much sugar, eating too much processed food. Obesity is often a result of that. Obviously, there are some people that are obese, that are overweight because of genetics, and it's not their fault. But I think it's fair to say that the obesity epidemic that is being experienced in many countries is often due to, or largely due to, lifestyle choices that we ourselves, we as individuals, and we as a society, are choosing to do things that are against chukei hateva, where we're eating in an unhealthy fashion. And the Torah says you should be healthy. The Torah says, "Nisharta ol nafshosecha." And again, the Rambam has eating healthy seemingly as part of a mitzvah d'oraisa. And if these types of aviros are things that we have to do tshuva for, and this is the first level of tshuva. Now, Rav Kook goes on to say that not only is this one level of tshuva, but this is actually an essential level of tshuva, and it's interconnected with all of the higher and deeper, more spiritual levels of tshuva. Rav Kook writes in the next paragraph, "Medicina, medicine or no healthcare, it deals with this a lot. It tries to fix these problems." But it doesn't yet have all the solutions. And we don't have pills you could take to solve all of the damage that we are doing to our own bodies that weaken our bodies. We don't have the medicines that are available to totally fix. To, 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 to totally fix the damage that we are doing to our body with these chataim. And here's the key line for us, the last line is underlined. This level of tshuva, which is again seemingly just making good lifestyle choices, exercising more, eating healthy, and things of that sort. It is interconnected with Kesher Chazak, with a strong connection with the higher levels of tshuva that relate to more spiritual things. So Rav Kook here is saying that if you want to do tshuva, if you want to dive into more kavana, and you want to make brachos more kavana, and you want to learn more Torah, you want to feel more connected to Hashem, you want to be more sensitive in the Lama Chaviro, and all of these things are very important avodos of Elul, the starting point, the first level of tshuva, is tshuva gufonit, is to strengthen the body. It's to eat healthy and bring back the vibrancy, the vitality to the physical body. And you can already see a different orientation here. There's not an inverse relationship between body and soul. You have to break the body in order for the neshama to emerge, or you have to think of your body as b'shikutz v'teyuv, as almost like disgusting, in order for the neshama to emerge. Rather, there is a positive relationship between body and soul. That the more the body is healthy, the more the body is physically strong, as we'll see in subsequent pieces, that allows you, that is a stepping stone to the higher and more spiritual levels of tshuva. So this is a theme in Orot HaTshuva. Just to see this in some other places in Orot HaTshuva, and then we'll see it as a theme in Rav Kook's thought more generally. Source number four, Orot HaTshuva, Perek Hey, Piska Aleph. I think the title of this perek is something about the feelings of tshuva. So Rav Kook writes as follows. Tshuva, returning to Hashem, is the healthiest feeling that a soul can have. Hopefully in future shiurim we'll be able to describe in a little bit more detail why. But here Rav Kook says, Neshama b'riyah b'guf bari mukhrakasi lavoli de ha'osher ha'gadol shel tshuva. A healthy neshama in a healthy body is necessarily lead toward experiencing the great happiness of tshuva. And then the neshama could experience the great sublime beauty and pleasure of tshuva. Again, it's another theme in Orot HaTshuva. The tshuva has a painful element to it, but overall, it is a very positive, pleasurable, and joyful experience. Here Rav Kook is saying that if you want your neshama to experience the joy and the pleasure and the Gan Eden of tshuva, it has to be within a guf bari. Rav Kook says the same way that a healthy body could fight off germs and emit those germs from the body. The same thing is true if you have a healthy neshama in a healthy body. The neshama is able to expunge and expel the spiritually harmful elements from the neshama. Rav Kook, you just skip down to the last line. Rav Kook writes, "Mukrach mukrakasilavo kisha organ bari mitzido ruchani v'gashmi yachdav." When the organ, when the organism, when the person is healthy from the Ruchani and Gashmi together, then you're able to experience the positive elements, experience the beauty and the pleasure of tshuva, of coming close to Hashem once again. And your body is able to naturally push out both physical and spiritual harmful elements. So again, the main part, the main, I guess you would say, subject of tshuva is the nefesh. But you, as a baseline level, as a basis, as a context, as a setting, the neshama needs to be within a healthy body. Again, not an inverse relationship between your body and soul, but a positive relationship between body and soul. One more piece, source number five, Urot HaTshuva, Perek Yudalet. The concept of a ratzon is extremely important for a cook in general. Ratzon refers to almost like the subconscious drive that a person has. And again, in Hasidus and Kabbalah, there's Chachma, Bina, and Das. These are referred to different cognitive levels. Chachma is the initial seed of an idea that pops into one's brain. Bina is fleshing out that idea of contemplation, fleshing out that idea in a person's mind. Das is thinking about it, meditating on it, making it real within a person, and then connect. Then your person becomes emotionally connected with it. But the question is, where does the thoughts of Chachma come from? Where do you get these initial ideas, these initial thoughts from? Where do thoughts pop into your brain from? So in modern psychology, we have something called the subconscious, and I guess the parallel in the world of Hasidus and Kabbalah, as far as I understand, is the concept of Ratzon. Ratzon is referred to as Keser, as the crown that's sort of on top of the head, on top of the brain. Now, Rav Kook thinks that a person's Ratzon is extremely important, and even though the Ratzon is subconscious, there are ways to reveal it, and there are ways to develop it in positive directions. And the whole concept of tshuva, Rav Kook connects with one's ratzon, that really this really a foundational element of tshuva is changing one's ratzon, or revealing one's true ratzon to reconnect to Hashem. And all of the cognitive elements of tshuva and the emotional elements and the practical elements all flow from the ratzon. So Rav Kook writes as follows about the ratzon. Berufyon haratzon, the weakening of one's ratzon that leads to many to that leads towards many weaknesses. Meaning, if your ratzon is weak, you can't properly do tshuva. What causes a weakness of the ratzon? Hashem harbeich yisrona kocha gufani. One cause of the weakness of one's ratzon, of not feeling things, not desiring things, of not feeling and not wanting to connect to Hashem, is a weak physical body. Abshagam hu achos become a gormim, even though sometimes one's ratzon is weakened because of moral factors, meaning let's say you watch Netflix all night, it's gonna be hard to want to connect to Hashem the next day. Mikomakom, when we do tshuva, I'll call her gormim. We have to attack all of the factors that cause a weakness of one's ratzon, and to try to fix all of them. Bein b'yachas ha-musar v'ator ruchani, both the spiritual elements, bein b'yachas ha-guf v'chizek kol kosav, and also the physical elements, the bodily elements. K'dei she'yah umetz ha-nafshi matzoi b'yaster tikkun v'shechlo b'sisei, so that your neshama is going to have a stronger base, and then your ratzon is going to be able to emerge. So here Rav Kook is saying, if somebody has a lack of a desire to do tshuva, somebody feels apathy, one of the things they should look, and they want to change that, they have a ratzon on the ratzos. They want to feel something, but they don't feel desire. They don't have this orientation towards tshuva, towards reconnecting to Hashem. One cause of the rifyon haratzon, the weakness of ratzon, is a weak physical body. As I'm sure many of us experience, I certainly experience this. If somebody does not get enough sleep at all, or if somebody eats unhealthily, if somebody doesn't exercise, they often feel more apathetic towards everything in the world. And if you feel that apathy, if you have apathy, you don't experience ratzo, you don't experience a desire, you don't have a strong orientation towards anything, then it's going to be hard to have a strong orientation toward to try to reconnect to Hashem. And for Rav Kook, again, we're going to see this hopefully later in Shirim, that ratzo is such an important concept in Tshuva. Rav Kook is saying that the basic foundational element of having a strong ratzon is having a strong physical body. Once again, neshama and guf work in tandem. If you want to have a ratzon towards ruchnius, so have a ratzon towards tikkun olam, towards reconnecting to Hashem, towards aliyah, then you have to have a strong physical body. Otherwise, you're going to feel more apathetic, and you're not going to have that ratzon. And just to drive home the fact, this is a theme about tshuva for Rav Kook. Look at source number six, Shmona Kvatzim. I don't think this is in Orot HaTshuva, but it's there in Shmona Kvatzim. Rav Kook writes, "Kahu seder." This is the order. if you want to be Matai yourself. Sorry, this is published in a Rosh Teshuvah, but I for some reason I put down the Shemoneh Kvasim. Kapo say there, Tzarech l'tahir u'la'ameitz es haguf v'kochosav kulam. First, if you want to fix yourself, you have to be Matahir and Ma'amitz to strengthen the body and all of the physical forces, all the physical kochos a person has. Akar kach ba'koach ha'dimayon v'kol sifav. And upon that, you could build koach ha'dimayon. Tzarech l'yos gam kin chazak v'zukach. It also has to be strong and pure. And then the emotions. So there are higher levels. There are higher levels cognitively, ruchnius, dimayon, regish, whatever it is. But the starting point is a strong and pure physical body. So I think this is something to be omed on, because as we've seen in many previous thinkers, the relationship between body and soul, particularly when it comes to tshuva, is an inverse relationship. And that's why I'm forgetting who says this. That's why Yom Kippur is the peak of tshuva. Because Yom Kippur, like Malachim, we're denying our body its due. And that is the day when the neshama can emerge. But for Rav Kook, we have a different relationship between body and soul. And when it comes to tshuva, the tshuva of the neshama and all of the ruchni levels that tshuva comes with, according to Rav Kook, could be best attained when the physical body is strong and healthy and it's being treated with respect and is being treated properly. Again, this is not Rav Kook making things up out of thin air. The Rambam describes the need for a healthy body. We have statements in Chazal about seemingly the Tzelem Elokim as referring to the body. But particularly in the world of Tshuva, and particularly coming from the world of Chassidus and Kabbalah, as Rav Kook does, this does seem to be a reorientation of the relationship between body and soul. And this is not for now, but later Chabad Mekoros do a similar thing. Again, you can find seeds of this in Tanya, but no, I think it's the Rebbe Rashab who's the first one to say that La'asa Lavo Neshama Nizonas Menaguf, that when Mashiach comes, La'asa Lavo, the soul will be nourished from the body. Again, we're going to invert the relationship between soul and body. And the Rabbi also spoke about this a lot, about the relationship between body and soul, and how also neshama nizonis min haguf, and how they have to work in tandem. You can't think of them as a dichotomous binary. When one is up, one is down. The other one is down. The other one is up. But this is a reorientation in the world of tshuva, particularly coming from Chassidus and Kabbalah, of the relationship between body and soul. Question is, where was Rav Kook coming from? What was Rav Kook doing with the earlier sources? Why did he feel like it was important that in Orot HaTshuva that he was writing in the 1920s, I think it was, and as he writes in the introduction that this is a that that in order to write about tshuva, you have to be thinking about, you know, about the changes in times, about the Ketz HaMegula, that Am Yisrael was returning to Eretz Israel and things are changing about the texture of Judaism, and things are changing in history. And you have to take those things into account when you're writing about tshuva nowadays. So why does Rav Kook feel like in our generation, it's in his generation and our generation, it's important to speak about body and soul in a different way than earlier generations did, or in a slightly different way, at least with a different emphasis and with a different orientation? And the answer is that this is a major theme that Rav Kook points out elsewhere, both in terms of the individual person and in terms of Am Yisrael as a whole. So let's just look at a couple of pieces from other writings of Rav Kook to broaden our perspective on Rav Kook's understanding of the relationship between body and soul. So source number 7 is from Orot HaTzchiyah, Perek Lamed Gimel. This is published in the book Orot. And this is Orot HaTzchiyah discusses the national revival, the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Israel, and the revival of a nation from Galus. Rav Kook writes as follows. G'dolahi tfilaseinu ha'gufanis. We have a great claim from our body. Guf bari anu tzrichim. We require a healthy body. Hit asaknu harbe b'nafshiyot. We dealt a lot with soulfulness. Shachaknu es kedushas haguf. We forgot about the sanctity of the body. Zanaknu es habrius v'gevura gufanes. We neglected physical health and physical strength. Shachaknu, we forgot. Sheish lanu basar kodesh. We have holy skin. Lo pachos mimash sheish lanu ruach hakodesh. No less than we have Ruach HaKodesh, we have Holy Spirit. Azavnu asachayim ma'asiyim. We abandon practical life. And we abandon life, the sensate life, life, we abandon, we neglect it, we try to ignore life as experienced by the physical body, because of a fallen fear. So let's stop over here for a second. Rav Kook is saying that in Galus, Am Yisrael was like an neshama without a guf. We didn't have a physical nation living together. There was no land. We were almost like a disembodied soul in Galus. And therefore, what the Jewish people focused on was the neshama. That yes, you know, you're living in a shtetl somewhere, and you might be making a subsistence living. But you have a job. You're a cobbler. You're a farmer. You are something. But your main self-definition, and this is what the Makoros speak about, is as a neshama, and the guf is neglected. The guf is either a neutral or a negative. And Rav Kook is saying that as Am Yisrael returns to Eretz Yisrael, and as we re-engage the karka, the physical land of Eretz Yisrael, and as we rebuild up the structure, the physical structure, the material structure, the societal structure of a nation. With even irrespective of the ruchnius, just no roads and mechanisms of governance and the school system and whatever else other countries have from a basic societal level that's parallel to the physical body of the individual level, all of these things become much more important when we're back in Eretz Yisrael. And once we're back in Eretz Yisrael, once the time is shifting and history is moving forward, are getting closer to Moshe Mashiach, that's when we have to realize that yes, there is a perspective, the body and soul are in competition with each other. And in Galus, that perspective has to be emphasized. But once you're back in Eretz Yisrael, you should have the ability to integrate every aspect of your life in Avodas Hashem, see divinity in everything and everywhere. This concept of Lesatar Panuimine, of no place being bereft of Hashem, is more emphasized in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else, according to Rav Kook. And that's why, particularly in this time period, we have to reorient our relationship to the body in general, and particularly when we're doing tshuva, to think of the body and soul as working in tandem, that a strong body could have a strong soul, will develop a strong soul, and not think of them as having an inverse relationship. And this piece, Rav Kook goes on to say, that's why the area of halacha that's relevant in Eretz Yisrael, not relevant in Chutz Laaretz, is by and large Seder Zrayim. What is Seder Zrayim? Seder Zrayim are the things that grow from the ground have Kedusha. And it's Tevel. And Tevel, you know, I guess depending on the Lamdos, already includes the Truma. And it already includes the Kedusha. And you have to separate it. How can you have things that grow from the ground and having Kedusha? This represents the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, the Chamrius, the physicality, the Guf, whatever, everything on that side of the ledger becomes important, and becomes more important, and you could see the divinity, see the kedusha, emanating from those things as well. If you look at the third to last line, Rav Kook says, "Kol teshuvah sinu," our entire tshuva process for Rav Kook returning to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilding a Jewish society as we should, and in its ideal fashion, Eretz Yisrael is the ultimate tshuva, or one form of the ultimate tshuva. This tshuva taleb yodinu is only going to work. It's only going to work if, together with the splendor of its ruchnius, God teshuva gashmis, also a physical tshuva, yotzaras dam bari, that creates healthy blood, basar bari, healthy skin, healthy flesh, gufim chatudim meisanim, strong physical bodies, ruach lohei zoreach agabi shirim chazakim, a spirit that is inflamed and shining on the basis of strong muscles. And through the gvura of this kadosh basar, then the neshama, which also was weakened in Galus, could once again reshine. So here we see this not in the context of tshuva and Arata tshuva, but in a broader context. This is part of what the national revival of the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael is supposed to create. If you look at source number 8, Arata Yisrael, Parak Tess, Piskachet, Rav Kook writes as follows, the Eretz Yisrael, Afshar Lahasig, and Eretz Yisrael, you can understand, Iksha HaBasar Shal Guf Yisraeli, how the skin, the body, of a Jewish person, who Kadosh Mamash Kedusha San Hashama, is Kadosh in a way that is akin to the Kedusha of the Neshama. The hard gets is a go from Nakasa Tibis. And therefore, what ramification does it have? You don't have to fight against the body. You can let the body remain in its natural state, with natural desires. But you can't just go with the body without neshama. Kim latimo tama emes. Aretz. But you have to elevate the body by giving it a taste of the true taste, the true life of living in Eretz Yisrael. And what does this mean? So just on a very simple level, as opposed to, you know, the story of the stories about the Vilna Gaon, I think that I hope this is true, but I heard stories about the Vilna Gaon, and again, I never checked up if this is accurate or not. I'm sure many people have looked into this, and there are academic books about this. But the stories about the Vilna Gaon is that he would soak his bread in water before eating it, so that he wouldn't have to chew it, so that he would have to, as little engagement with physicality, with the physical world as possible. And Rav Kook is saying, as opposed, in there, the Vilna Gaon was a Kaddosh Vatar, but that is a attitude that is more relevant in Galus. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to fight against the body. You're supposed to be la'aloso, ulatimo tama emes shechaya kodesh. You're supposed to let it engage with the physical world. Taste the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Be mitayel in Eretz Yisrael. Walk around. Get your body dirty with the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Eat things that are produced here. And by doing so, you will be able to elevate the body, not by fighting against it, but by working together with it, but giving it a taste of the kedusha that is inherent in the physical land of Eretz Yisrael, and inherent in the physical food and physical fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And this idea connects to source number 9, who wrote the Tchiyah Perek Lamed Daled, which was one of the pieces that was highlighted in the original Pashkevilin against the book Orot. When the Rav Kook published the book Orot, there were Pashkevilin up against it that put it in Nechirim, and they highlighted this Orot Tchiyah Piska Perek Lamed Daled. If I recall correctly, when the Ger Rebbe came to Eretz Yisrael and with the intention of trying to make peace between Rav Kook camp and the Yeshiva Yashan camp, he asked Rav Kook what is Pshat in Orot HaTzchiah Perek Lamed Aleph. So what does Rav Kook say there? Pretty radical things. Rav Kook writes, Hit'amut, exercise, Shetzirei Yisrael oskim ba be'Eretz Yisrael, that the young Jewish people are doing in Eretz Yisrael, the chazik is gufam, to strengthen their bodies, b'shvilios banim amitze koach l'umah, to be strong children of the nation. Ki meshachleles the koach haruchani shel tzadikim ha'elyonim. It helps advance the spiritual koach of the supernal tzadikim. Ha'oskim b'yehudim shel shemus kadoshim, that deal with Yehudim. U'harbos havlatas ha'or eloki ba'olam. And who are trying to increase the existence, the appearance of Hashem's presence in this world. V'ein giloi or echad omeid below chaveru klal, and you cannot have one without the other. So here again, we have Rav Kook highlighting the fact that once you're back in Eretz Yisrael, the physical and the ruchni have to work together in tandem. You can't have tzaddikim who are being osik in Yehudim and Shemos and all these Kabbalistic things to bring the Or Hashem into the world. They're not going to work as well without the physical side, without the people that are exercising and hitting the gyms. The reason why this piece was so offensive is because the people that are exercising and hitting the gyms were non-frum people, Chalutzin, the second Aliyah, let's say, who were doing these things on Shabbos, who had no respect for Torah or for Kedusha. Rav Kook is still saying that those mekubalim, those tzaddikim who are living in Yerushalayim, or who are being osik b'shemo sekadoshim, in Yehudim b'shemo sekadoshim, they need those non-frum, friar, chiluni, chalutzi people who are strengthening their bodies. And that's why this piece was so surprising. And the piece goes on. You could read the rest yourself if you want. Over here, there is a deal in both among Talmidim and Rav Kook and among academics. Is it chizuk the guf per se, or is this a reference to some type of, you know, pre-state military or security activity? Because Rav Kook writes, it was banim amitze koach le'uma. But either way, I think that the point still stands, is that this is a part of a broader theme in Rav Kook's thought about the relationship between body and soul, that once you're back in Eretz Yisrael, a healthy neshama could shine much more through a healthy body. And source number 10, just to finish up the source sheet, Rav Kook writes in Shmonei Kvatzim, Hayetzia The Jewish creation, the Jewish is something that's unique. The national soul in its general form, and each individual soul of each person, it's unique. In what way is the Jewish soul, Jewish creations unique? In many ways. But in this piece, Rav Kook writes as follows. What is the driving idea of Jewish creations on the Jewish soul? Achdus Elokis, the fact that the divine unity, the fact that everything in the Hasidic sense, and the fact that everything in the world is a manifestation in some way or other of Hashem. And Hashem's presence shines through every element of the world. That is the driving force behind Yetzirah Yisraelit, behind Jewish creations and the Jewish soul. There, Rav Kook explains more. The organism, the essential connection between body and soul, it's unique to the Jewish people. Rav Kook contrasts this with Buddhism. He contrasts this with Christianity. He contrasts this, if I recall correctly, with the Hellenistic culture. That Judaism emphasizes a relationship and the positive relationship between the body and soul. Again, Rav Soloveitchik has similar formulations coming from a halachic perspective, coming from Rambams and coming from Gemaras. But for Rav Kook, this is an idea that's based on Hasidus and Kabbalah as well as halakha, and it's particularly relevant in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, returning to Arot HaTshuva, this is one of the reasons why Rav Kook's Arot HaTshuva starts off with tshuva gufanit, with eating healthy, exercising, strengthening the body. Because that is an essential ingredient, an essential baseline from which to develop the higher levels of tshuva and have a more ruchani connection to Hashem throughout the month of Elul and God willing going forward forevermore. Thank you so much, and Hatzlacha and Hatzlacha Rabbah.